Now, Caroline's chosen our Bible reading for today from the first letter of John, chapter 4. And I'm afraid I wanted to read this myself, because this is a Bible reading that I read a long, long time ago when I was at school and had a high-pitched, squeaky voice, and I read it in a big service, and so it means a lot to me. 1 John 4, verse 7. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. And this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. We know that we live in him and he in us because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Saviour of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him, and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment, because in this world we are like him. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. Now I'm going to invite Caroline to come and speak. Thank you.
One of the many difficulties about speaking on the Bible is that you have the Bible reading just before you get up. And you always get up thinking, gosh, follow that. But I will endeavour to follow that for you on site and for those of you who are watching on Zoom with just some reflections. I come from my own journey of grief, both long and short, and I often say that grief is like beads on a string. And each time you add a new grief, a new loss, a new bead to that string, it stirs up all the others. And so for me, today stirs up the loss of my mother and the loss of my sister-in-law and the loss of a dear friend and the loss of my husband and so on and so on and so on. But I want to suggest that while loss and grief can sometimes fill our field of vision, it can be important to take a little step back and look at the whole shape of things, even while we're in the midst of grieving. And I take as my central point the shape of the cross. And if you think about a cross shape, it points in four directions. And it reflects the things that death cannot steal from us. Because the cross is the ultimate symbol of the fact that death has already lost. that it's down under the boot of God like a dying wasp. And if you've ever picked up a dying wasp, you know it can still sting. But it's on the way out. And that's what we as people of faith believe. That God is stronger than death. God is love. And therefore, death cannot steal love and the things of love. One arm of the cross points towards the past. And when we lose someone, we can often take a journey into the past. We can strengthen ourselves with happy memories. We can remind ourselves of times past. We can remind ourselves, too, of all the times we've come through difficult days before. And as I look out at you, I just want to remind you that your record of getting through difficult days is so far 100%. Because you're here. And so sometimes it's important to look back to the past and think, what have we made it through already? What have we walked through already? There's that marvellous Footprints poem where someone is walking along the beach with God and they look back and they see that during some of the toughest times of their lives, they can see only one set of footprints and not one belonging to them and one belonging to the Lord. And so they say, Lord, why did you abandon me? Why do I only see one set of footprints during the tough times? And God says, oh, my child, I would never leave you. During the tough times when you only see one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you. God carries us through those really tough and difficult times. And let's face it, who else can we moan to at 3 a.m? Who else is going to be awake? And so God is our companion in those difficult times of grieving. We can look back on that, and we can look back on our memories. Death can't take away everything that your loved one was to you. Death can't steal that out of you. It's forever part of you. And in many ways, we are a mosaic of pieces of other people's lives, as well as pieces of our own. If you took away the influence of every person you've ever known, wouldn't be a lot left, would there? If you'd never met another living soul, all of the lives that brush up against our own imprint us in some way. The impact craters of other people's existence litter our surface, some positive, some negative, but all there. And so that's one thing death cannot take, our past, our memories, and the things we've already overcome. They're ours to keep. Another arm of the cross points towards the future, and the future can look really different when you've had a big loss. You look at the landscape and it's really hard to imagine. And for the first year at least, it impacts over and over again. You live that grief over and over again. Your first Christmas without, your first holiday without, your first birthday without, your first significant family event without. And it comes like waves that just sweep over you over and over again until you feel as if you will drown under them. And you eventually come to the end of those first times and you eventually adjust to the fact that the landscape of your life looks very different. But at the same time, there is that fear of the future. There is that fear of, you know, I've got to go through the next however many years before I see my loved one again. And that's a really long time. And God is already standing in your future. God's already there. That thread of love that runs through the past runs into the future too. God is love, and those who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. And that thread of God's love connects us to all those we have lost, all those we've loved and see no longer. Connects through us to the future, to those yet unborn. We are all connected in God. And so sometimes it can feel as though the future is something to dread, but actually the future is something to look forward to when that connection which we cannot see becomes visible to us. Now, I don't know if any of you have planted any bulbs recently. I often wonder whether the daffodil bulb has any notion of what it will look like when it breaks the surface and becomes a daffodil. I wonder if that little scrubby bulb knows of the golden trumpeting glory that will appear above the surface of the soil when it grows and breaks surface. In just such a way, I suspect that what we have now is the scrubby brown bit, and what we will have in eternity is the golden daffodil bit. And it's so far beyond what our imaginations can stretch to. And so we have things to look forward to in the future, even if we don't know exactly what form and shape they take. A cross stands rooted in the earth, and we stand in the here and now. And the here and now might not necessarily be where we want to be. We might prefer to live in the past. It's very tempting. We might prefer to live in the future, to think about how things will be when we've got over this and moved on. But you don't get over. If there's one thing I've learned, it's this. You don't get over grief. What you do is you grow around it. And onward. When I lived in London, I used to pass every day a particular tree, which when it was planted was obviously quite a slender tree, but over the years it had grown. And there was a barbed wire fence next to the tree, or rather it had once been next to the tree. By the time I moved there and lived there, the barbed wire ran through the tree because the tree had grown through the barbed wire and kept going. Which is a wonderful image for how we grow through the griefs that stab at us, the pains that we struggle with. We grow through them and we grow onward. They don't grow less, we grow more. Our hearts grow greater. At the time of grieving, it can feel as though somebody has slammed a sea wall down and the waves of your love break against it and up into foam and spray. And have nowhere to go. It can be a time of great energy where you want to do things in the here and now to mark your loved one. You want to raise money for a charity. You want to do something in their memory. And the feelings can be very sharp and intense. And it's important that we acknowledge that part of our now, that energy and that impetus that we have to do good things. But we won't always be in that place of breaking waves. The tide will go out and come in again. Our lives and our landscape will change. We will grow bigger and stronger in love. And in the here and now, if you are living through it minute by minute, there'll be a time when you're living through it hour by hour. There'll be a time when you're living through it day by day. Then it will be week by week, then month by month. And then you will realise that there have been whole strings of days where you have not thought about it at all. And that's okay. Because that's part of the journey. It is part of the journey. And so it is not up to us to hold on to our loved one. Our loved ones are not in our hands, they're in God's hands. And God's hands are the safest hands in the game. God made us. And God is the only person who sees the whole of our lives unrolled like a scroll. The past, the present, and the future are all right there for God. And so there is not one second, not one minute of your loved one's life that God does not remember and hold safely. Safer than our own memories, which, let's face it, fail and can be dodgy even on a good day. And some of us, of course, lose our memories before we lose our lives. But God holds all those memories securely. God remembers who you are, even if you don't remember. And so it is not up to us to hold on to God like a child in a busy shopping centre. You hold the child, you don't expect them to hang on to you. It's common sense, isn't it? And the last arm of the cross points upward to eternity. We live our lives in the light of eternity, and we were formed for eternity. There isn't fear in love. Perfect love drives out fear. If we live in that love, in that light of God's eternal love, love never runs out. We never get to the end of it. It never abandons us. It never leaves us. We swim in an ocean of it, whether we can see it or not. we extend that love to others. Death cannot steal love. Death cannot steal those loving relationships, those strings that bind us to one another, those connections that bind us and also bind us to God. But living our lives in the light of eternity means that sometimes we have to let go of some stuff that's not so perfect in the here and now. It's a bit like if you pack your suitcases to go on holiday and then you get really comfortable in the departure lounge and you don't take your flight. Oh, but we had a great holiday in the departure lounge of the airport and we got it set up just comfy, just perfect. We had a really good time. But you didn't go to the airport to spend a holiday in the departure lounge. You went to the airport to fly off to somewhere wonderful. And in the same way, we are pilgrims on a journey through life. We are not meant to get too comfortable here. This is not our ultimate home. We are meant for somewhere else. And as we travel through life, it's important to remember that we are waving our loved ones off on a flight to somewhere wonderful. And it hurts, and the pain is real, because goodbyes hurt, and the pain is real. But that string of love doesn't snap. That love doesn't break, because love is the most powerful force there is, and in it we are held. And perfect love casts out fear. So let's not get too comfortable in the departure lounge. Let's live our lives in the light of eternity. The last thing that death cannot steal is who that person was. Who that person was to you. Death can take them out of this world, but can't steal everything they were. And do you know what? You can take their place at least a little bit. If you really admired your loved one's sense of humour, try and find more opportunities to laugh. If you admired their faithfulness, find something you can be faithful in doing. If they were always there for you in a crisis, be there for someone else. If they were someone who could be depended upon to fix things or to understand things, then perhaps that might be something you can step into. Find where your gifts meet your longings, and there you might find a calling. And you might be able to carry forward a little piece of them. Be a little bit more them in your own life and make the choices that will bring you to joy so that when people speak about you at the end of your life, there will be many wonderful stories to tell. Because at the end of that departure lounge and at the end of that flight, when you're reunited with your loved ones, let's face it, it'd be really good to have some great stuff to talk about, wouldn't it? The only thing we get to take with us on that journey is our soul. So let's make sure we spend enough time on our soul. And make sure we spend enough time getting to know the God in whose hands we have placed the ones we love. I research my children's school, and one day my parents' care will be as carefully researched. I have to say that, they're sitting there. And do you know what? You can learn about the God in whose hands you've placed your loved one. And this place is a really good place to do that. I'm going to read something to end. It's a bit of a scrappy, messy meditation on love, because we've spoken about love, the idealized form of love, the perfect kind of love that God shows and that we try and reflect. But we're human and we mess up. And sometimes our love is imperfect, and some people are really difficult to love. And some of you may be carrying prickly griefs that stab at you because your relationship with the person you've lost was not an easy one. And I carry a few of those myself. And so if that's you, allow this to sink in and perhaps be of help. Life is not always long enough for hurts to finish healing, for the awkward gift of forgiveness to be wrestled into place. We wish it was, but it isn't. And the unwoven threads are left raw and ragged and dangling. Sometimes in storms, there is not time enough, safety enough, energy enough for the construction of bridges to be completed, and people stay stranded, separated on opposing sides, until dark clouds fill the horizon. Sometimes love is slow and anger fast, and love limps wounded across the finish line after the race is over and the crowd dispersed, a seemingly pointless and unwitnessed victory after the 12th hour. And we want to scream, "But I got here! I arrived! Come back and see!" into silence. Sometimes we live as though reconciliation is always possible, sometime, just like fixing that shed, tidying that nook, taking that holiday, returning that call, until it isn't, and the moment slips beyond our reach, and the shed collapses. Does it count that we meant to, that we were working up to, that we would have one day? Does it count that we're sorry, that we're human, that you were too, and our not loving each other enough is not the same as not loving at all? Does it count that sometimes we have to love from a distance, out of the reach of claw and fang, like one loving a tiger, feeding it, but carefully, in order to be able to continue? Does it count that we gave what we thought was love, and you gave what you thought was love, only to find we were speaking different languages? Or that love, like forensics, waits until after things are dead to discover and reconstruct piece by piece what was real until things finally make sense? Yes. Yes, it counts. Yes, we loved you. Love you. Yes, it hurts. Yes, we forgive and want to be forgiven. Yes, we will wait till God calls us, to tell you what by then you will already know, in that place where there will be embraces, but no more tears. Amen.